Hi, this is Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Brinker, who's taking the day off and a well-deserved day off, and he'll be back next week. And now we're going to talk about the stock market, but we're going to talk about a guy who clearly knows what he's talking about, former Wall Street banker. He is a lawyer. He has done a lot of that kind of work. He's the former dean of the Golden Gate University School of Business, the Agena School of Business, a very fine school of business. His name is Terry Conley. Now, the number to call is 1-800-934-2221. Again, that's 1-800-934-2221 on Money Talk. Terry Conley, welcome to Money Talk.
Well, thanks very much, Tom. It's great to be back.
Let me just go through some numbers here. On Tuesday, May the 19th of 2015, the stock market hit 18,312 for a close, all-time high. Now, in January, 7-8 months later, it's at 16,346. That's the Dow Jones, a loss of almost 2,000 points and a loss of about 12%, the worst week since 2011. The Standard & Poor's 500 index is down about 11%, but the broader Standard & Poor's 1500 index is down about 27%. What are we looking at here? Are we looking at something that's pretty ominous, or are we looking at something that appears to be a correction to you?
Well, we're certainly looking at a correction, as it's technically defined and generally defined. But that doesn't mean we're looking at something ominous. If you listen to people talking about the stock market, they're always saying on television, well, we need a correction so basically the people who missed the rally can get back in and buy cheaper. And, you know, so we've had that event, which we normally have every 2 or 3 years. It actually has been a long time since we've had a correction in the markets. The funny thing is, though, the same people that are often the same people who've been saying, well, we need a correction so we can buy. Once you get the direction, they start saying, keep selling. So you can't always believe the pundits on this, and you really have to start looking at fundamentals. And luckily enough, we're just on the verge of a very important earnings season, so we can get back to focusing on fundamentals rather than these technical sorts of numbers. And, you know, a lot of people, when there's confusion in the market, rely on technical measures, which have some validity on a historic basis. But, of course, technicals are always right until they're wrong. Otherwise, we'd never change direction, and we certainly do. The other point to make about those main numbers compared to these numbers here is this has happened before during this decade. If we look back to 2009, which was the real bottom of the stock market in the wake of the Great Recession, we've had dips of 12-13% from time to time because of fear about the Eurozone, fear about Greece, fear about Spain, fear about a U.S. default. And we've recovered from each of those and moved up forward from each of those to that all-time high that you mentioned. So the fact that we've had that much of a dip doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the elevator's going down and never coming back up. Rather, it indicates that sometimes the market gets in the grip of fear. We've got some new things, new-ish things to worry about, particularly about China, and we can talk a little about that.
Well, let's talk about China. Here we have this report that the Shanghai market, which is, as you say, weighted with kind of state-run companies, so it has this big loss, and seems that set off a lot of this selling. What's that about?
Well, let's distinguish between the Chinese economy, the Chinese currency, and the Chinese stock market. Of the three, the Chinese stock market is the least of our worries, if you will, because it's the least important to China. Only about 90 million people in China really trade on the market. It's a small part of their economy. It's a little bit of a turn signal for the economy, but not nearly so much as its currency changes, and we've seen some of those pretty directly. I think with respect to the stock market, yes, it's gone down a lot, but it's still above its summer lows. And secondly, the Chinese did a little market manipulation over the last couple of quarters. And to kind of explain it, they had some of their own state-owned financial institutions buy heavily into the stock market and took it up 30% since the summer lows. That would be the equivalent of the Obama administration getting Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and a few other Wall Street firms to come in and buy a lot of stocks for their own account, which, number one, right now would be illegal under Dodd-Frank. But number two, you know, we really haven't seen that sort of thing since the firms sort of got together in 87 and stopped the stock market rout.
You also talked about the fact that there may have been some selling going on in the early part of January when some of these big numbers came down, and this was the selling on the part of Americans. Talk about that.
Well, absolutely. I think that what you have is we had a situation where the so-called FANG stocks, you know, Facebook and Amazon and Netflix and Google, had terrific years in the stock market during 2015. So that if you bought them in, let's say, December of 2014, and you looked at the end of the year 2015, you had a kind of a whopping capital gain. And if you just took that over into the next month of January, you have a long-term capital gain, which is tax advantaged. And but you still have to pay the tax. So one thought was that we didn't get a lot of selling in those stocks in the closing few days of last year, but we certainly got a lot of it in the first week of this year, because those people who reaped capital gains in January now have about 15 months to use that money, to use those profits before they have to pay the tax on them. So that happens every year with the big winners. And this particular year, the big winners were tech. So NASDAQ took a pretty big hit because its upward drive has been driven by FANG. So again, not much to worry about there in terms of the economic health of those companies. Some of them have pretty rich PEs, but also some of them have pretty rich prospects and are real game changers in their industry. So this will be an interesting week to see if that continues or settles out a little bit. The more important questions going forward into this week are, what's the data and the behavior going to be of China, and who is able to figure out exactly what's going on in the Chinese economy? Remember those three things I mentioned. It's the currency and the economy that we really want to know more about. The currency, at least we can see full up. It's pretty visible what happens to the currency. The question is, what are the statistics that we can trust on the Chinese economy? And I think there's a lot more confusion about that today than there was 2 weeks ago.
Which is to say that the Chinese put out a lot of statistics, but they're not necessarily ones that have been totally vetted or may have been cooked for their own advantage.
Well, they're fairly new to this. So I don't think we have to go as far as to say everything is cooked. I think we just need to understand that they're just coming to grips with what it means to have an open financial market. And this week, they didn't like what they saw, and so they kind of clamped down on that market, or attempted to, and the market bit back. And so we had a sense among investors around the world that the Chinese were still rookies at this game of managing their trading economy, and raised questions about how well they're doing manage their economy as a whole.
What about culturally, though? Here's a country that is a totalitarian regime. I mean, does embarrassment strike them in a worse way than it strikes Americans, who have to kind of open the books? And they cook, not saying they don't cook them, but generally speaking, the books are more reliable than they are there.
Well, the standards are more established over a long period of time, particularly also in what the courts will decide. And we haven't had that kind of case law, if you will, developed in China, and its own central bank and its securities regulators are not necessarily in sync this week, and that's kind of worried a lot of people. Typically, you don't get the U.S. Federal Reserve and the Securities Exchange Commission, you know, pulling two different ends of the in a tug of war. So they have to learn that lesson. They're learning it the hard way. But they are concerned about embarrassment. Frankly, the most effective thing the Chinese have done lately is to crack down on some chatter on the Internet, which does show that there's a sensitivity there on in terms of embarrassment. Also, the new head of China and their government, their Communist Party, was in the United States in September of this past year, and he said, look, there's no reason for us to depreciate the currency. And now he has.
All right. Well, there we go. And we are listening to Terry Conley, who's the former dean of the Golden Gate School of Business at Golden Gate University, and himself a former Wall Street banker, a lawyer, and all of that stuff. The number to call to talk with Terry, ask your questions, make your comments, 1-800-934-2221. Again, that's 1-800-934-2221. Terry Conley, I'm Tom Bakar, sitting in for Bob Brinker, and this is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-400-1902. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-400-1902. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-400-1902. 1-800-400-1902.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-558-1515. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over a million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-558-1515. 1-800-558-1515.
Are you or...
door, but anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. Our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed a very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat, but adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite, it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 6 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And for the second year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
This is Money Talk.
Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Brinker, who's taking the day off. I'm with Terry Conley, former dean of the Golden Gate University School of Business, former Wall Street banker and attorney, a guy who really understands markets. And we're going to take some calls because that's what makes this the most fun. Zach from Anniston, Alabama, not too far from Birmingham. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm in the market for a new house right now. And what I want to know is how will the stock market being lower right now affect me? Will it be positive or negative?
Well, for the moment, interestingly enough, it's a positive effect because with the market selling off with the Chinese difficulties, the market is on the bond side, on the debt side that drives housing mortgage rates, is beginning to think that the Fed won't raise interest rates up to four times in calendar 2016. That's going to keep, if that expectation holds, that'll keep mortgage rates pretty flat in the market. You won't see a severe run-up. Behavior in housing markets, as you well know, is pretty well local in character, and you know the bond market, the Federal Reserve, and so forth is a national market. But I think for the time being, while there's no absolute conviction the Fed is going to be sort of pedal to the metal in terms of raising interest rates, you're in a pretty good time zone right now. Even though the stock market is selling off, that's helping you.
Carolyn in Bloomfield, New Mexico, you have a question for Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn. Go ahead.
Yes, we are in the San Juan Basin, the oil field, and my husband and I have a little extra cash to put into the stock market for retirement. We don't have much in retirement, so what would you recommend?
Well, I'd recommend right now proceeding very cautiously. Because we're getting an increase in volatility. And that's because the market is broadly confused about what the direction is going to be this year. There's going to be some clarity on that as we come along. But I think I would take my time. The cash for the moment isn't hurting you. The more deflation we seem to be getting pushing into our market, and we see some evidence of that obviously with oil prices, commodity prices, and the fact that businesses are having a little harder time raising prices, the cash is going to in its own way become slightly more valuable because you'll be able to buy more with it in the interim or even just save it. Some of the banks are slowly but surely beginning to raise their deposit rates. It's not broad-based, but we're beginning to see it begin to creep up as it should.
Let's take a call now from Alan in Arvada, Colorado. You want to talk about inflation. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I just heard your last comment on inflation, and that cleared up a fair amount of that question. But also given the fact that we're, you know, basically kind of a debtor or we spent ourselves, we've got a lot of debt and the deficit, how do you see the stability of the dollar in the next, say, 2, 5, or even 10 years? I mean, sooner or later, when we've got to address that debt, aren't we looking at some sort of inflationary cycle?
I think that's a very fair question, because our minds have kind of, at least at the national level, in the campaign level, have kind of come off of that in a broad sense. If you look at the most recent budget deal in the Congress, it was pretty simple. We raised spending, and We certainly didn't raise taxes in any particular way. I think that, you know, most people know the numbers as you project out for Social Security, to some degree for Medicare. We're safe for probably a decade or so, but after that, it gets pretty dicey. In fact, we begin to have some trouble after 2020 to some degree. So we're going to have to come back to that. But right now, the dollar is being driven by the depreciation of the currencies in emerging markets and by the oil price. And there's some symbiotic relationship between that, too. The stronger the dollar, the lower the oil to some degree. But until we get some of these markets that are out of balance, like oil, between supply and demand, straightened out, and that's kind of a natural process. It takes a while. We saw it happen in our own housing market where housing prices went down 30%, like oil did this past year, and then they began to stabilize, and then demand was sort of began to grow. Until we get past that, I don't think we'll get back around to a serious look at things like the entitlement debt burden, but we will have to.
Well, very good. Thanks, Terry. Now let's go to Let's go to Ralph for a quick question on trading. Go ahead, Ralph. Knoxville, Tennessee.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to ask you about the high-frequency trading, and one other thing I want to tack on. Since 2008 crash, what steps have we taken to ensure that those same mistakes aren't made, or have we? And how is it really even a level playing field when, like, say, Jamie Dimon never went to jail, John Corzine with MF Global, $1 billion roughly disappeared, and no one's held accountable? How does that play into our future 401ks when there's no accountability? Thank you.
I share your concerns about high-frequency trading. It's a majority every day in the market now, about 49, 51%. In our worst of times, when we see this high volatility, it can be 70, 80%, and I don't think we've taken enough steps on that at the SEC, although I know they are working on it, and they have made some efforts in that regard, including some direction toward prosecutions. I just saw the movie The Big Short last night, and I was working on the street at that during some of that time. So I really feel acutely the problem of the fraud that occurred during that period of time, and that has really, on a personal level, gone unpunished.
And frequency trading?
Frequency trading is going to be here to stay because it's a technology-driven, mathematically-driven concept. It's hard to put that toothpaste back in the tube. The regulators have to catch up with it. They can catch up with it because they have access to the same technological tools to measure it. The so-called spoofing sort of trades, where phony trades are put into the market to drive prices up, you know, that's been going on since God was a boy in the securities industry. It just is going on a lot faster right now in multiples that we need to get an arm around. It is difficult, more difficult, to trade the market as a retail investor today because of that, and that has to be addressed by the regulators in the coming years.
You're listening to Terry Conley, former dean of the Golden Gate University School of Business, former Wall Street banker, currently an attorney, and a guy who knows a lot about the markets. My name is Tom Bakar. I am sitting in for Bob Brinker, who will be back next week, and we will continue for the next half hour with Terry Conley and more of your questions coming up right away.
This is Money Talk.
People ask me, Bob, how do I increase the value of my portfolio? But did you know your identity is the most valuable thing you own? In fact, 1 in 3 Americans will have theirs stolen this year. That's why, for my money, Experian Credit Tracker is a smart investment. As a member, you get best-in-class fraud protection, timely alerts, and a dedicated fraud resolution agent to help you set things straight. That's value. You've earned your credit swagger, so look after it. Check out Experian.com today with enrollment in Experian Credit Tracker.
Geico presents Kathy, the Candid Realtor.
Through this door, you've got your guest bathroom. And the mosaic tile you see on the floor is original to the house. It's in such great shape, your friend's foot will slip right off it when he gets out of the shower and land him in a sling for 6 weeks.
It's hard to know all that comes with renting a home or apartment. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting covered for accidents and personal property loss quick and easy. Visit geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
You're listening. Are you or a loved one suffering from long-term depression, tried medications, struggled with the side effects, and really had no improvement? Well, the New Brain Institute has an alternative to medication that is scientifically proven and FDA approved. The New Brain Institute offers you a way out of your long-term depression with a short-term treatment. To find out if you're a candidate for TMS treatment and to read more about TMS, go to newbraininstitute.com or you can call 844-624-8444. Again, that is 844-624-8444.
This isn't a commercial. It's a gift to anyone who's sick and tired of dealing with their hearing loss, because we'll give everyone who calls a free trial of a life-changing hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Not only that, we'll also give you free shipping and free batteries for life. But you must call now. 1-800-943-2757. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. So if you're sick of dealing with your hearing loss, let us give you a 100% free home trial. with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-943-2757. That's 1-800-943-2757. 1-800-943-2757.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $5,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're NetDebt, and we're offering you free information on how to virtually eliminate your credit card debt and make your monthly payment affordable. To see how much you could save, call now, 1-800-551-3344. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes, and we could save you thousands. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. NetDebt. Live better debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling now. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call NetDebt now and see how much money you could save for free. Call 1-800-551-3344. That's 1-800-551-3344.
Trina Healthcare treats problem diabetes, speeds healing, boosts metabolism, and they take Medicare and most PPOs. Trina Health is your best choice to manage your diabetes. Call Trina Health today at 424-328-4600.
Staying healthy is difficult. You've got health questions, I've got health answers. I'm Dr. Bob Martz, and tune into my show Sunday morning at 10, right after The Motorman. Sponsored by Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and Chia Omega at finer health food stores.
If you ever want to buy a car or a house, you're going to want to know your credit score. Because banks will check it. And if there's a mistake on your credit report, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. That's with just one mistake. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com. Get your credit score, get your credit report, and check it whenever you like. It's free, and there's no catch. You never need to enter a credit card. No trial subscriptions. It's just a free credit score and report. Right now. Because at Credit Karma, we thought you should be able to see what the banks see before you apply. Plus, Credit Karma can help keep track of your bills and your loans and can even send credit alerts so you can catch errors on your credit report quickly. All for free. So don't get an unwanted surprise about your credit score or credit report. Go to CreditKarma.com. CreditKarma.com. That's CreditKarma.com.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Money Talk.
Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Brinker on Money Talk, and we're with Terry Conley, former dean of the Golden Gate University School of Business, former Wall Street executive, and certainly an ongoing attorney. We're going to take a call right now from a very special place because of what's about to happen there. Al from Santa Clara, California, home of Levi's Stadium, home of Super Bowl 50. Al, you're on the air.
Wow, thank you for that great introduction. Do I get an extra question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, the first is, should be pretty simple. You know, I look at the low energy prices as a real gift to the entire economy of the entire world, and I can't really understand why we're not getting any better results in the transportation stocks. The transportation index seems to have been just doing really badly throughout 2015. Wondered if the if your guest has a feeling on the 2016.
Happy to, as an owner of some transportation stocks, I share your pain. I would say this, that it really started with the fall in oil prices and the anticipated and then realized declines in oil production in the U.S. Similarly, the coal issues and so forth. The rails had been getting a lot of margin with respect to moving oil and coal in this country and in Canada as well. And so the rail stocks all took a pretty big hit, starting around midsummer and then going forward. And that weighed on the index for transportation and on the ETFs. And so what happened is you got some ETF-related selling from people who were trying to, you know, mimic them to some degree, or people who were just getting out of them because of what was happening to their holdings on the rail side. And so you sort of had rolling thunder there a little bit. We had it broadly in the market back a few months ago as well. But within transportation, some airlines got sold off simply because the ETFs were getting sold off that they were a part of. You're right that logically you'd think with cheaper kerosene prices, et cetera, you would be getting on the jet fuel side some benefit for the airlines. And I think eventually that's going to play through. But right now they're kind of trapped in an ETF with a uncomfortable bedfellow, if you will, in terms of the railroad side. And that's taken down the whole index. So there'll be some buying opportunities there because of that index and ETF effect. They're also taking a bit of a hit, too, more recently, because to the extent you read lower oil prices as a signal that the world economy is slowing down, you begin to hurt firms like FedEx and UPS and Packaging Corporation or whatever. You begin to hurt, and UPS and FedEx are in the transportation sector. You begin to get more rolling thunder, if you will, downhill because of the expectations of a slowing economy. I don't particularly buy that, but it's certainly having an effect.
Al, you got a second question? Okay, Al's gone. All right, very good. We're going to now go to Rockford, Illinois, to George. George, you're on Money Talk.
Yes, I have a question. I'm pretty much retired, and I did work for an airline, and I do have a retirement, but I also have a portfolio, and I'm losing, and I'm trying to be like conservative with the portfolio, and I have, you know, an advisor, but I'm losing probably about 8%. Would it be wise right now to just freeze the portfolio and maybe put it in CDs or something like that? But it kind of bothers me because my horizon is not, you know, I mean, I'm almost 70 years old, but it scares me when I lose so much of my portfolio. And I'm probably maybe speaking for a lot of other people who are in the same boat I'm in.
I'm sure you are. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, a couple of thoughts for you. Number one, what's going on right now is kind of a day-to-day phenomenon. At 8% down, you're certainly not performing worse than the market is performing. In recent couple of weeks. And right now we have more of a buyer strike than a selling panic. Selling panics, you got to be careful. You may want to have some stops in some of the stocks that you feel the most vulnerable about. But I wouldn't necessarily take any broad positions about getting out, getting in as a whole until we see how this next couple, 3 weeks of corporate earnings come out. Their expectations are very low, so that might be right, but it also means they'll be pretty easy to exceed them if companies have done a little better, particularly in the last quarter, than people are expecting. So I'd just be careful making any precipitous moves until we get past this period.
Okay, now we're going to go to Harry in Nevada City, California, up there in the foothills of the Sierras. You have a question about something Warren Buffett said.
Yes, I'm holding an interview that Buffett gave to Fortune magazine in 1999, November. In which he talked about the biblicality of 17-year cycles, starting with the birth of the Fed in 1913. And he pointed out, as an example of what he's talking about, he said on December 31 of 64, the Dow was at 874.12, and 17 years later it was at 875. And then towards the end of the article, he said, if I was a locust going forward to the year 2016, he said that the in a world of he predicted that the annual compound return, if things went well, would be 6%, adjusted for inflation 4%. If he was wrong, it would be 2%. And by the way, I just calculated the annual compound return of the Standard & Poor's 500 since March 24th, 2000, when it closed at 1527.46. And believe it or not, the annual compound return of the index alone, and then we'll add the dividend, is 1.465% over 15.8 years. The dividend is averaged 1.98, so that's 3.445 before inflation. So I just wanted to ask your guest whether he thinks Mr. Buffett may be correct.
Terry?
Well, you know, Warren likes to sometimes play games with numbers because it's one of the things he's always accused Wall Street of doing is making the numbers come out anywhere he wants or any way they want. And there's some truth in that. As it happens, I know Warren a little bit. He was my grandparents' paper boy in Omaha a few generations ago. And I worked for him for a while at Salomon Brothers when he was chairman. I think that what we're seeing here is a kind of, and part of his point is a kind of a reversion to the mean, that things sometimes go up high and down low and so forth. But if you look at it over enough time, we get an average out that's not so different from where we're, what we're living in. Right now, for example, we're very concerned about this sort of low GDP number we've got that's sort of floating around 2% plus or minus a digit or two over the past several years. But if you look over 40 years, it's not really very far away from what the average is. We've had 3 and 4% years from time to time, but mostly we're not that far off right now. And yet people think, well, we've got kind of a tepid economy. Well, if so, we've had one for 40 years. So, yeah, it's useful to keep records of Warren's pronouncements from time to time. I've got some that go back even before 1999, and I certainly look at them from time to time as well. So keep reading, Warren.
Okay, now we are going to go to the lovely city of St. Augustine, Florida, up there on the Atlantic coast, almost to Georgia. Bob, you have a very interesting question because this affects a lot of folks who are about to or retired.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the fortunate position of got too much money and I don't know what to do with it, to tell the truth. And I have to take RMDs, and I heard somewhere that you could delay taking RMDs. Would you tell me everything you know about it, if anything?
And you, of course, are talking about required minimum distributions. Terry?
I'm in that business as well, and I try to minimize those while I'm still just semi-retired. And I find that the last year did me a small favor by taking my portfolio value down so that I didn't have to take out as much. So you kind of play the ball as it lies, and, you know, individual needs are certainly going to vary on that question. But and calculations vary, by the way. It depends, for example, if you're married and how old your spouse is, that you can get different percentages that are required for that sort of RMD in any given year. And I think that, you know, my approach to it has been to try to have at least as much appreciation in the IRA, for example, during the year after when you take it out, as you have to take out, so that you maintain a constant target. And since the takeout is typically 4 or 5%, that's not a pipe dream.
Yeah. But there are minimums. I mean, you just can't sit there and sit on that money.
No, you can't. But you don't have to take out much more than what you could reasonably expect to earn.
I have a question came in on the internet. In general, have we put too much pressure on individuals to invest in the market with defined contribution plans, et cetera? Was the average worker better off with defined benefit plans like in the old days and not have to link their savings and retirement to their own ability to invest?
I think that's a very good question, because we really started to make this move couple decades ago. And on the whole, you know, the appeal of it is you sort of control your own destiny, make your own decisions and the like, and indeed the reforms within the 401ks and otherwise, so that you don't have to just hold it in the stock of your own company, have moved further in that direction. But, you know, if we talk about putting the Social Security system into the same kind of defined contribution structure there, I think we would really be tearing a hole in the safety net potentially that would be unintended. So as long as it's private money, I don't have as much of a problem about that. But we're not going, again, to put that toothpaste back in the tube any day either, because it would be a big change to corporate planning.
Let me ask you this. You obviously have spent time in that business. Do you trust these big firms like Vanguard, Fidelity, to well represent their clients, especially their unsophisticated clients, somebody who's just worked real hard, put together a pretty nice nest egg, and kind of count on that expertise? Or do you think that that's just kind of a dangerous way to play that.
I didn't work in the money management industry, but yeah. I know Vanguard's and Fidelity's reputation, which is quite stellar, and I wouldn't cast a cloud over their integrity or their effort to do the best that they can. We're just in a situation where somebody was talking earlier today about high frequency trading and the like. And particularly Vanguard tries to avoid high frequency moves in their holdings. So they're grappling with the same issues that you and I are, so to speak, in the financial markets, and coming to terms with the turbulence that we see from time to time, which is made worse when we have these global issues.
Well, what I'm saying is some people think their money just sits there. Once you put it in a fund, it just sits there and nothing ever happens to it. There's a lot going on behind the scenes with any one of those funds.
Oh, right? Indeed. Yeah. And Buffett has spoken on this subject too, because he kind of dislikes paying helpers and sort of has been content, obviously, to manage his own money. But Warren's sophistication started at about age 10 in terms of the money management mm-hmm. world. Most of the rest of us were trying to figure out some other way to make a living. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're talking to Terry Conley, former dean of the business school at Golden Gate University. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about more things. Take your calls if you want to call. 1-800-934-2221. When we come back, we will talk to Karen in Albuquerque just as soon as we return, because this is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
His hair was falling out in clumps.
Our golden retriever, Sundance, he scratched incessantly.
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Olive was suffering like a dog. She was itching, she was scratching, she was licking 24 hours a day.
Just chewing and chewing and chewing. So.
Scratching and biting.
Buddy, my Shih Tzu's itching problem, constantly licking his feet. It keeps me up at night.
And all it took was one container of Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids,
flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The shedding slowed down to almost none. The scratching went away after a few days.
Tons of energy. No more bad smells.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Sleep at night. Get your dog some Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Increase the value of my portfolio. But did you know your identity is the most valuable thing you own? In fact, 1 in 3 Americans will have theirs stolen this year. That's why, for my money, Experian Credit Tracker is a smart investment. As a member, you get best-in-class fraud protection, timely alerts, and a dedicated fraud resolution agent to help you set things straight. That's value. You've earned your credit swagger, so look after it. Check out Experian.com today with enrollment in Experian Credit Tracker.
Hey. I have rhythm. I love to dance, and I've been told that I dance pretty well. But I'm also totally blind, which means that sometimes my circadian rhythms can get totally out of step with the world around me. Circadian rhythms are regulated by our internal master body clock. But because I can't perceive light, my body clock simply doesn't know what time it is. This can have me wide awake in the middle of the night and fighting to stay awake during the day. That can affect relationships and make it difficult to be productive at work. And it can make every day a real challenge. It's not my imagination. It's called non-24, and it affects up to 70% of people who are totally blind. So if you're like me, you're not alone, and there is hope. Call 855-856-2424 today, or visit learnmorenon24.com to find out more about non-24. Because learning more about non-24 is the first step to getting your rhythm back.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is.
790-790-790-790.
KABC.
Good news, weather, sports, markets, and traffic first on the fours.
Ah, I got it.
Only here.
KABC.
Your one stop for breaking news and adult fun. 790 KABC.
Life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated, price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $28 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-604-5813. That's 1-800-604-5813. 1-800-604-5813. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is Money Talk.
And this is Money Talk. Tom Bakar sitting in for Mr. Brinker, who is taking a day off and well-deserved day off. And we're going to go right to the phones. We've got some calls. Karen in Albuquerque, New Mexico. What about investing in private equity? Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I'm calling about investing in private equity groups. You must teach something where you teach regarding private equity, because I'm sure some of those students, when they get out, are entrepreneurs. They want to start businesses. They get money from venture capitalists. How do you invest in those? Can you recommend a few to invest in?
Well, a lot of high net worth investors are playing in those fields, and I think I'd be careful in two respects right now. On the venture capital side, if there's a concern about bubbles in the U.S. economy, it's on this sort of unicorn side where you have a lot of private companies that are up over $1 billion in estimated value are in the private market. And there's been, speaking of unicorns, some pulling in of the horns on the venture capital side right now. It may not be the best time. That being said, there's a great deal of success in that if you can afford to play in that league. On the private equity side, there's a way in through publicly traded stocks of firms that operate in the private equity area. And that might be an easier way to look at things right now than as an individual investor, because those deals are done in large size. So that's what I would look at, like a Blackstone, et cetera.
Kevin, in Knoxville, Tennessee. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a question about the privatization, or at least part privatization, of Social Security discussed earlier. I've heard before, and I can understand the concern about if that were to be done, you know, what if there was a sudden market downturn, how would that affect Social Security safety net? But I've often wondered if that was somewhat of a false fear, in that the assumption is this is a program that would apply to a 20-plus year period. And if market conditions were to, for some reason, completely collapse in a way that it affected someone that had a 20-plus year history in some type of defined benefit plan, wouldn't those same conditions negatively affect the current Social Security system as well? Meaning,
Terry?
some type of defined benefit program would be that much more ahead of the game.
Well, it'd be hard to see a circumstance where you had a crash in the markets accompanied by a change in bond market values, where the interest rates would go precipitously up and hurt the principal value of those bonds. I think that you want to look at the Social Security issue. This year has been remarkably quiet on the political front, apart from Bernie Sanders' proposal that we raise the level of salary at which the Social Security tax applies. So we'll probably see some debate on that going forward, but I doubt people will be bringing forward in this political year the idea of linking it to the stock market.
Okay, let's go to Miami, Florida. Beautiful Miami. Alan, go ahead.
Yes, I'm not sure if the other gentleman just touched on it briefly there or not, but my point and question to your guest is I often hear the comment about the concern about Social Security insolvency in the coming years and so on and so forth. Simply, tell me where I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, Why don't they just raise the amount of wages, the maximum amount of wages that can be taxed to whatever is needed to cure the problem?
Terry?
That's exactly what Senator Sanders, among others, has proposed in this political year. So we're going to see at least some degree of debate on that. The fundamental problem of Social Security is whether we have enough workers entering the workforce and continuing on for a number of years to support the increasing number of baby boomers. That's all tied up in the debate about immigration, to be simple about it, and it's also tied up in other parts of our political debate as well about, the gap, a wealth gap between those over 65 and those below 65. And I think those numbers are going to continue to play a role in the campaign, as is the proposal of Senator Sanders.
What's the current critical date for Social Security?
I think it's after 2037, but I'm not precise on that.
What about Medicare?
Medicare is a little sooner.
So the point is,
it isn't critical in terms of an absolute collapse, but I think the total number of workers who are paying into the system compared with the people who are recipients. And this brings up one other little thing I think is important to get in here, which is that people talk on the jobs front about all the people who are no longer in the workforce. Well, that's including 10,000 baby boomers retiring every year. We don't want them necessarily back in the workforce.
Very good. Terry Conley, former dean of the Golden Gate University School of Business. My name is Tom Baker. Bob Brinker will be back next week, and he will talk about the specifics that you want to talk about. Hope we've entertained you. I hope we've informed you, because that's what this is all about, because this truly is Money Talk.
People ask me, Bob, how do I increase the value of my portfolio? But did you know your identity is the most valuable thing you own? In fact, 1 in 3 Americans will have theirs stolen this year. That's why, for my money, Experian Credit Tracker is a smart investment. As a member, you get best-in-class fraud protection, timely alerts, and a dedicated fraud resolution agent to help you set things straight. That's value. You've earned your credit swagger, so look after it. Check out Experian.com today with enrollment in Experian Credit Tracker.
Ah, oh, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D, Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep. Feel like racing?
Hey, wait!
This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
Olive is a yellow lab, 6 years old, full of energy. But, oh, man, Olive was suffering, to use a word, like a dog. She was itching, she was scratching, she was licking 24 hours a day. She was shedding all the time, and it drove my wife crazy because she had to vacuum the house a couple times a day. So I'm going up the expressway, and the radio commercial comes on.
PD stopped eating. All of his hair fell out. Mounds and mounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs.
And I almost drove off the road because I thought this person on the radio commercial was living with my dog, Olive. And I called my wife. I said, dear, you got to check out this product called Dynavite. Go to DINOVITE.com. So we started Olive on the Dynavite. In about 6 weeks, she almost has entirely stopped itching, scratching, stopped licking herself. Most of the hair has grown back under her belly. Unexpectedly, her coat has become smooth and shiny, almost like it was when she was a newborn pup. Olive is happy, and my